Do you remember the first time someone labeled you in a negative way? As I was preparing for this week's episode, I started thinking through when was I first impacted by being categorized in a demeaning way? And I gotta tell you, whew, did I ever remember? This episode is two parts. In part one, I'll share my experience with labels and how they've impacted me throughout my life. We'll also talk about the importance of you identifying the labels you're carrying with you today and give you some tools for beginning the process of reframing them. Then next week in part two, we'll focus on creating a plan for strategically shutting down your labelers and taking control of your narrative. We got lots to talk about, so let's go. Hi there, my name is Jenny Graves. You know, throughout my life, I've been labeled as being too loud, too quiet, too old, too big, too difficult, too bossy. Okay, so you get the gist of where I'm headed with this, right? And over time, subconsciously, I began to believe every single one of those awful labels, feeling less than, unworthy, and overall a lousy person to be around. Until one day, one magical day, I said, to heck with this, I've had enough, and began defining who I am and where I'm going on my own terms. And now, I'm obsessed with helping women over 40 toss aside the age and gender-based labels given to them to create the success they want and deserve. Pull up a seat and join me each week to talk about strategies for reframing and repositioning your mindset, your career, and your life. It's time to turn the table on negative labels and take back control. Okay, let's get it. I have to be honest, going through a lot of memories about when I first started carrying the weight of negative labels was really hard this week. I guess it just makes me so sad to think about how much of my life I've wasted by just allowing somebody else to define who I am in my own head and what's important to me. But even though it was hard to think about these things, it really did help me connect the dots that led me to where I am today. So as a bit of background to my story with labels, I grew up in the coal fields of southern West Virginia. Our tiny 900 square foot home was built on Sand Lick Mountain. We really didn't have much, but we had more than most in the area at that time. My mom was a stay-at-home mom and my dad was a civil engineer for the state. And I always felt like an oddball because most of the kids I went to school with came from coal mining families. And if you don't know much about coal mining, I can tell you that it's hard and dangerous work. Now, coal mines have done a lot of work over the years to improve their safety, but no matter what, it's still dark, dirty, and can be deadly. I mean, I've actually lost family members in coal mining accidents and also to black lung, which is just a horrific disease. And because of that, I always felt very fortunate that my dad was not a coal miner. But my dad was pretty interesting in that he was college educated and probably one of the smartest, if not the smartest people I've ever known. But with that said, he was a bit of an oddball. And still to this very day, at the age of 95, he has very defined ideas of how things should be done and what is acceptable. I mean, there's black and then there's white, but there is no gray in his mind. And you need to remember that I started elementary school back in the early 1970s. And at that time, there were no malls. There wasn't a Target or a Walmart. And so we always ordered my school clothes from the Sears and Roebuck catalog. And we would get the fall and winter catalog, usually towards the end of summer. And I can remember poring over every single page and carefully picking out exactly what I wanted. And I will never forget the year I went to the second grade. I was 7 years old. And about a month before school started, so I guess it would have been in August, my parents decided it was time to order my school clothes. And so my mother measured me and we determined that I needed a size 6X in little girls' clothes. And again, now keep in mind, this is the early 1970s. There was no online shopping. So every catalog came with a blank order form and you would fill out your order form, include a check, mail it off, and in about 2 weeks, you'd get your order back. Well, that year, I remember my mom and I sitting down at the kitchen table one afternoon, and we filled out the order form for everything I wanted for school clothes and put the 6X size down for everything. And then we waited until my dad came home, and he was going to write the check to send along with the order. And true to form, Dad came home from work that evening, had dinner, and then he sat down to take care of my order. Well, what happened next will forever, and I do mean forever, be seared into my brain. Dad took one look at the order form and saw the size of clothing that I needed. He began to question my mom about my weight and how big I was. He then went on and on about the fact that I was fat, that I needed to take care of my weight now, or by the time I was a teenager, I would be huge. They wouldn't even be able to get clothes to fit me. He then leapt to a huge conclusion and proclaimed, "No man will ever want her." Okay. Now, let's think about this. I was 7 years old. I was supposed to know how to manage my weight and be focused on a man wanting me. I swear to God, I get so angry just thinking about this. And he must have used the word fat 100 times. And the implication was that, well, if you're fat, you're worthless. And if you're a fat woman, you're doomed to be an old maid for the rest of your life. I was always a painfully shy kid. And so I remember when he started shouting about how big I was, that I was simply shattered. Even just talking about it right this minute, I get that same feeling that was in my chest. It's a pain that I cannot even describe. I just wanted to shout at him to shut up. I remember going to my bedroom and crawling under the covers and burying my head. I just wanted to flatten myself out. I just wanted to make myself small. I just wanted to disappear. I mean, I was 7 years old. Nobody had ever labeled me as anything negative before. I was a kid. I had no idea that I was anything other than a normal kid. And you know what? I was a normal kid. Being told that I was fat and basically worthless by someone who was my world because I was a daddy's girl was just too much for me to understand. And then what made it even worse was that I remember mom coming in to check on me and not understanding why I was so upset. Because she had grown up painfully thin. And her mother had told her that she was too skinny and pretty much had berated her about being underweight. My mom just thought this was normal for parents to have this type of reaction. And you know what the ironic thing is? I, this past week, actually pulled out photos of myself from when I was 7. And I look like a normal sized kid. I don't see this obese child that my dad was railing against. And what I think the situation was is that he saw that I was in the largest size of children's clothing. And the next size up would be in a whole new category, whatever that would be. And he thought at 7 years old, I shouldn't be at this stage. Now, let me explain a little bit about my dad's reaction, because again, I've thought through this and really tried to understand what on earth, because my dad would never knowingly hurt me, even as a child or now as an adult. And he truly, because I've talked with him about this, he truly thought he was being a good parent. His older sister had indeed grown up to be obese. She had a miserable life as a child. Other kids made fun of her constantly. She just had no self-esteem. And then this just continued into her teen years and adulthood. She was always overweight and unhappy with herself in life, and later in life ended up having a pretty significant alcohol problem. My dad feared that I would be destined for her same path, all because I was a size 6X at the age of 7. He honestly thought he was using, as warped as it is, but he was using some reverse psychology to shame me into losing weight. Part of me understands his insane thinking, but the other part of me wants to scream from the rooftop, I was 7 years old and I was not obese. Although my dad thought he was helping me and parenting me in a way that would help me take care of myself, all he successfully did by labeling me as fat was to set me up for a lifetime of having a bad relationship with food and a terribly distorted body image. I believed the lie that I was fat, ugly, and worthless. Now, this is definitely not a weight loss podcast or even a weight loss message. I tell you this story because it's representative of what goes on every day for women. And it probably goes on for men too, but I'm not a man and I don't know their experiences. Every day, women are boxed in by others. Well-intentioned or not, it doesn't matter. We are boxed in by the untruths others tell us. We believe the lie and we internalize it. And those lies, whatever they are, you're too bossy, you're too difficult, too much of anything, those lies hold us back from living our fullest lives, achieving our biggest successes, and truly being happy. I know this firsthand. It's been the story of my life since the day I was 7 years old. When somebody labels you in a derogatory way, you have to look at their motivation before you can really process it. For some, like my dad, it's not meant to be destructive. He genuinely thought he was giving me tough love. But to this day, almost 50 years later, I carry the I'm fat voice in my brain. And it does not matter the intention of the person labeling you. The negative impact is done. I mean, somebody may not mean to run over you with their car, but you're still injured nonetheless. But understanding where your labeler is coming from can help you process it, get to the underlying issue, and help yourself begin to see it's not true. I can remember being told by a previous supervisor that I was too direct. You need to soften up your message when you're communicating with the guys, he said. Your message is usually spot on, but you got to be softer if you want them to receive it. You're just too direct. Now, let me give you the background and set the stage on that. So at the time, I was working for a large Fortune 100 technology company. I was the only woman on the leadership team. All of my peers were men, and they were all primarily engineers. My supervisor was the president of our business unit. And I can, Lord, things I could tell you about my experience with this guy. It was clear that he had never worked with women before, and our interactions were usually extremely awkward. Given that women are woefully underrepresented in the technology field, the majority of the men I worked with didn't know what to do with me. They had never worked with a woman who was their equal, who was their peer before. And I know for younger people, this seems almost impossible to believe. I mean, it was just a few years ago, but it's true. So the motive, his whole motive behind the "you're just too direct" came from my manager hearing from my male counterparts that I was too tough. I didn't sugarcoat interactions with them. I didn't fit the mold of how they thought a woman should be or act. I mean, their wives probably were not direct. Their girlfriends, their sisters, they didn't view those people as their equals. And therefore, I was really some oddball to them, and I was mean. And of course, my boss was far more bonded with them, one of the guys. And so he believed them, and therefore I had to be the problem. I was the one that was mean. I was the bad, scary woman. So did figuring all this out make me less pissed off? No. But the thing I want you to know, and please hear this, knowledge is power. Never, ever, ever forget it. Every bit of knowledge you can gain on any situation puts power in your hands. So figuring out the motivation from my boss helped me to strategize how to position myself with these people. And that does not mean I forced myself to be someone with them that I wasn't or act in a way that was not authentically me. It means I focused on making sure I was always abundantly clear at all times. I used clarifying statements. I reframed my coworkers' words right back to them in a very positive way. And I ensured that my motivations for whatever it was I was doing were very clear and unquestionable. I made it impossible for them to say that I was being mean or too direct or too bossy or too whatever. And the other thing, you know, I really want you guys to hear is that this is not just a male versus a female issue. This is not a man-bashing podcast. I've experienced labeling from both men and women. It doesn't matter. Now, usually the motivations for labeling are different between men and women, but it's still derogatory and harmful, with the end result being that you're being held back from the life and success you want and deserve. And it may not be that your labeler is holding you back, but because you're believing the fact that they have stood up on high and deemed that you are too much or too little of something, means you are holding yourself back by putting yourself in that box or allowing them to put you in that box. Now, we'll get into the specifics of how I overcame this particular "you're too direct" label in the next episode in part two. But the takeaway here is that there are several keys to overcoming labels, several steps that you can take to really begin, start understanding what the truth is and start laying the foundation for you to start taking back control. The first one is you've got to get really honest I mean, just be very transparent with yourself and figure out what labels you're carrying that are holding you back. Is it that you feel that you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too difficult, you're too quiet, you're too loud? You know, whatever it is, know what you're carrying. It's a 10,000 pound weight on your back that is holding you back. Identify it. Do it now. The next thing is understand, where did that originate? Who labeled you that way? And what was their motivation? How did you come to believe this? This awful pronouncement that you are too much. I mean, it just pisses me off beyond belief. Nobody has the right to deem you as anything. It's up to you to decide who you are, what you're going to be and do with your life. You know, their motivation may be that you don't fit the image of what you're supposed to be or how you're supposed to act or speak or work in your labeler's head. So maybe their past experience, you're different from that. Maybe your labeler is intimidated by you and literally wants you to doubt yourself. And trust me, in corporate America, I have experienced that and I have seen it happen to other women. And I've coached other women in navigating that tricky, awful position to be in. Whatever it is, identify your labeler's motivations and underlying issues. Because once you understand the motivation, your brain will begin to recognize that that label you've been carrying around for the last 5, 10, 15 lifetime of years, it's just a big, fat, bald-faced lie. And then finally, the third thing that you can do to begin overcoming this box you've been put in, create a plan for stopping your labelers in their tracks. Now, I call this my FU plan, and this is a G-rated podcast. I won't go into what FU stands for, but you probably are knowing what that means. So in my example with my dad, I was 7 and I was powerless to overcome his pronouncement of my impending worthlessness and my sentence to being an old maid. But we are all now adults. You're bright, smart, and fully capable. And you have every right to be who you are on your own terms. And because this step is the one I see so many women get stuck on, we're going to have part 2 next week. It's a full episode focused really just on creating your FU plan and setting yourself up for success on your terms and defining who you are and who you want to be. So to help you get started on this journey, I've created a label self-assessment tool. It's super quick to use. And it will help you begin identifying the labels you face every day and really start to really dive into that and understand where it all started. You can download the free tool at pages.jennygraves.co. Or you can just get it directly from today's show notes, wherever you get this podcast. Guys, knowledge is power, and the best place to start is really peeling away the layers of doubt, negative self-belief, and all the frustration, just to understand how you got there. Don't hold back. No one else will see this important work that you're doing, so don't be shy. Peel away those layers. Honestly, take a deep, deep look at the false beliefs that you've been believing. if you work on that this week, and then next week, we're going to together create your very own plan to start shutting down those who give you all the negative labels and begin the process of taking back control. Okay, until next time, label changers. Keep on moving forward and working to create the success you want and deserve. And thank you so much for listening to an episode of the Labeled Podcast.